and Happy New Year. It is always exciting to come to church on the first Sunday of a brand new year. It's exciting to think in your mind, to think in your heart, the good things that we are going to see God do in this upcoming year. I know that no matter what situation that you may be in, what items that you may be dealing with, I know that there are challenges that face us, but I know that we serve a God who loves, who hears, who understands, and most of all, I serve a God who cares. So emotional yesterday to go to that, to see friends and the young man that passed away. A number of brothers in that family, the Hackinson family like that. And I went to school, the same class with Jimmy and a new Melvin. And Don and I, we played softball for 27 years. Never got it right, but we tried playing for 27 years. And when he called and he said, "I have a request." He said, "I would like for you to sing at the service they're going to have on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. And I said, "Well, Don, that's nice, but 11 o'clock I have service at Mount Calvary." He said, "Charlie, this is a request from my mother." I said, "Don, what do you want me to wear?" So to have the opportunity to go around and just share that great hymn of the church, Amazing Grace, to yesterday see so many friends, so many family members, so many folks here from the Franconia area that over the years that I grew up with. I saw Carl Sell over there. Carl Sell, I played baseball for him. Baseball. A little more small round one like that, and we threw it a little harder. And we were trying to count up the years, and he said, "Well, you were young." He says, "You were about 14 or 15 when I got to coach you." And we just reminisced. We reminisced about good thoughts and good things in our mind and heart. And this morning, I simply want you to just focus on the good things of God. The good things of God. The service of time worked out that I was able to sing, Terry and all, make it back in time to share with you this morning. I wanted to share with you. But if I had not made it in time, then I imagine Rick was ready, was he not? You would have probably heard a sermon about the farm, about how muddy it is after God allows all these rains down at the farm, about what a beautiful place it is up on the hillside with that house, he and Wayne going down. If not, you had that evangelist all the way from Alabama. Where's he at back there?
Right here, bro.
Right there. You were heard that great evangelist from Alabama. How long have you been down there?
2 weeks.
Good. You see how long they kept him. Sent him right back here with a message upon his heart. And he would tell you down in Alabama that they have, you call them pecan or pecan. What do you call them down there?
Pecan
trees down there. And what a wonderful thing it is when God gives you the fruits. Those nuts off those. I just love those when he bring in those pecans. If not, you might have heard from Bill here in the front row. He would have told you how important it is to be at your local Southern Baptist church on every Sunday morning, except for this Sunday morning, when he's the renegade over here singing with us. You might have heard from Joe Klein. Joe Klein this morning at Roy Rogers told stories that would put the fear of God in your heart about his flying escapades and the many times that he almost went down the plane and oh. Or we might have had one of the ladies. We could have had Noreen come up. Now, Noreen this morning did something I bet none of you have done. I'm going to tell you what she was doing this morning. If you have done it yourself, I want you to raise your hand. This morning, right out in the front of the church here, right outside those doors, she was going down the walkway chasing little croquet balls down the sidewalk over there on a Sunday morning before church. She brought in a croquet set, and just as we got it to the door, the bottom fell out, and those croquet balls, they hit, and they were rolling down. I don't know how she was going to tie that in the sermon, but I know she would have something special for you. I dare say that any individual that we called upon would be able to come up here and could share something good that God is doing for them in their lives. I think that you ought to be instant, in season or out of season. All that says is you just be ready. You just be ready when God lays something upon your heart to share with somebody. I know that it's your time of year, and let me see the hands of the resolutions. Let me see the resolutions. Nobody's having a resolution? One, two. All right, I'll have a resolution for you then over there. Some of it need to make it your New Year's resolution that you make a resolution. Because there's work to be done. Number one resolution is what? I'm going to lose. Bob told me one time, I'll make a resolution, lose hair, gain weight. I know I can keep them. Number one resolution out there, people talking about losing weight. Everybody, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do better with my finances this year. I'm going to spend my time more wisely. I'm going to be more faithful in the things that I am trying to do for others. I'm going to make it a point to get on the phone, to send cards. All these things, I'm going to do more, I'm going to do more, I'm going to do more. Well, trust me, the way that you're going to perform any resolution that you have placed within your heart or God has placed within your heart is you get serious about it. How do you get serious about something? You get right back to the basics. Last week we talked about in the first chapter of the book of Romans, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 16th verse. As you read on in that book, in such a wonderful book, and trust me, here in January and February, we're going to be in that book of Romans, and we're going to look at some of the, when we get to the 8th chapter, you're going to think you're on a Wednesday night service, because we're just going to move nice and slow. But before you get there, you got to look in that 3rd chapter, and it states there in the 23rd verse that, for all have sinned, for all have sinned. You have to go back to the basics. Jack Nicklaus, the great golfer that you all know of, every year he would go to his coach, a fellow by the name of Jack Grout, and he would say, I want you to give me a lesson just like I was a beginner. Which kind of surprised him, because here's a man who has won more major tournaments than anybody's ever played. But every year he would go back to his coach and he said, start me with the basics. Show me the grip. Show me the stance. Tell me where the ball should be placed at in my stance. Start me back on the basics. I read an article in a Gaither Homecoming magazine from Harry Connick, and you may know him from his albums and his wonderful playing. What a wonderful Catholic background that he has, man of faith. But at the same time, he's one of the judges on the show American Idol. And he constantly goes back when he works with musicians. He says, learn the melody. Before you start doing all these fancy chords, he says, first of all, there's a writer who has a gift to write a beautiful melody. Learn the melody. I talked to somebody just new into the area, and they're talking about getting from point A to point B, and they said, well, you know the traffic and how it is and how it goes. And I said, well, I said, I know most of the shortcuts around this area because I've been here a long time. I said, but what you need to do, first of all, you need to learn the main roads. You need to realize that 95 goes north and south, but then it'll have a different, it'll go off over here, but it's still the same number. It'll go back there and still going up north. You get on this thing that has different numbers on it. We call it the Beltway. If you'll just start on it anywhere, you just keep going. You just keep going until you learn it. It'll bring it right back to where you started from. And in no time will you touch the district. You got to learn the main roads before you start taking a bunch of shortcuts. And I think in God's Word, you got to learn the main things first. I love it when people are studying and they find a nugget in there that God just turns that little spiritual light bulb on in their hearts. And they are just so blessed of that little item that they have found. But it begins with the basics. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then I jump over to the fifth chapter. And this fifth chapter is where it kind of starts to get good. It starts to get real good because it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of your word today. Open our minds and hearts. Let's receive that special item for each one of us, God, that only you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, all God's people. Amen. 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 You got to start with the basics. There was a poem that was written. It talks about in your life what matters. It won't matter where you come from or the side of tracks you lived on in the end. It won't matter whether you're beautiful or brilliant. Even your gender, skin color, will be irrelevant. So what will matter? What will be the value of our days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. It is not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is about what you learn as well as what you taught. Amen. Amen. What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, courage, or sacrifice that enriched, empowered, or encouraged others to emulate your example. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many felt good when they were around you and how you served them. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories that live in those who loved you. Wow. What will matter is how long you will be remembered, by whom, and for what. I believe in the beginning of the year, we have a wonderful opportunity to start out, and I love having communion on the first Sunday of the year. I love an opportunity to say, God, thank you for what you did for us, sending your Son to die upon a cross, the shedding of the blood, the brokenness of that body. This do in remembrance of me. You have a lot of challenges. You'll have a lot of things that will pull against your time. You have a lot of static in your life. But I believe in the new year. I believe with a resolution that is Matt was talking about in his prayer this morning, to draw closer to God. What a wonderful thing to focus upon. I know that there are challenges this past week. I know you heard about the tumble that my mother took and the ribs and the challenges that my parents face. And as I was studying, I was reading the scripture about how important faith is. And I started to go into a little discussion and definitions of faith, but you know what faith is. You know that believing in something is unseen. And you know those scriptures where Jesus spoke about the faith of little children. How willing they are to simply believe by faith. But I want to tell you too, that faith carries on through your life. It is something that is placed deep within your heart. Because faith is not a head understanding. Faith is a belief in your heart. And I'd always, when I read this, I'd go back and I'd think of the children. And then God kind of revealed something to me about our seniors. I'm dealing now with a situation my father in. And the mind is just not as strong as what it was. And in having conversations, although later on in years, trust me, friends, these minds that we have, they might not be as strong as what they were. They may go. I have conversations, and he has a tendency to repeat himself. And for the first time, he started to talk to me about me like I wasn't there. Then I immediately kind of caught himself. He called me the name that he always calls me by, and I won't share it with you. If you know the name, keep it to yourself. He says to me, he said, "Well, I sure thought Chuck would be up here doing a little more hunting." I said, "Well, you know, he's busy. But he gets up every now and then, every chance he can," and he kind of caught himself and he looked. And although the mind may fail, the warmth from the heart is still there. I have seen people that many things in their life, many of their abilities mentally, have been somewhat strained. But at the same time, I've seen those still full of compassion and full of warmth and full of faith. Because that faith was not a mind thing that can wear out, but that faith is a heart thing. Now, you start this year, you say, "God, make me more full of faith in you. You speak to me. You allow my heart to be right. Everything else will fall in line. You'll make mistakes. You'll say something when you shouldn't have said it. You'll sometimes open your mouth just to change feet. You'll have things that'll come. You'll just scratch. You go, why in the world? What? But if your heart is right, if your heart is genuine, if your heart has the desire to have God's word placed in it, that is where your faith comes from. I know. What'd he say, Matt? He said he got himself saved that day. Boy, I like that. God himself saved that day. I know that within his heart, he found God. It's what goes on in here, folks, that really matters. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's basic. I have sinned, all have sinned, but it is through my faith in him that I have that gift of eternal life. Is that the way they preach it over in the Baptist church, brother? Pretty close. When I see him just about falling asleep, I point at him. I'm just trying to raise his blood pressure a little bit over there. Came in this morning, he says, my blood pressure's low. It's been low, he says. He says, but you know what? Bless them, Lord, as they're on their way out there. He says, but you know what? I'm going to come in, and I'm going to sing. He said, last time I was in here singing with you, I was holding on over here, and just about, he says, I was trying to pull a Joe Klein on you over here. I was holding, I was teetering back and forth, I was doing all these things. He said, but this morning, I'm just going to come in. And I am going to trust, and I am going to sing. Ooh, that inspired me. It's because we are doing things by faith. Not from that old head learning. Not from those old things that this mind will tell you, because it'll tell you a lot of stuff. It'll tell you a lot of junk. You'll get the craziest ideas that you've ever thought of in your life. So the challenge that we face, go back to the basics. Open your Bible. Take the word that God has written here and place it within your heart. And it will make a difference. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house today. We have opened your word. God, you have challenged us. You have spoken to our hearts. God, we ask now that we simply have an opportunity to thank you for what you've done for us. We believe that all of sin comes short of the glory of God, but we also believe that through our faith, as our mouths, as we confess the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will save us. God, we believe in the basics. We believe that we are a church. We are a church that is simply built upon love, your love. We are a church that hopefully cares one for another. And God, we feel that every time we walk into the doors, and we thank you for that. But we know, God, that we could not do anything. We could not have one care. We even thought of compassion unless you, through your Holy Spirit, spoke to us, and we thank you for it. So God, as we take this wafer representing the body of